morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Morning After Show here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Onyango Olo.
And I am Tanya Briseño.
Yes, so today we have a number of things we're going to do. In the second hour, we're going to be bringing you interviews. One is going to be about the Pacifica campaign. We'll be speaking to somebody called Dennis Moynihan. And we'll also be talking to somebody from Pasadena, California. We'll tell you more about her. Her name is Sonali Kolhatkar.
And we'll be bringing you a Christmas special on what is going on this Christmas. Are you shoppers ready for some Christmas shopping?
And of course, let's just tell you in advance that it's not what you expect. This is not the shopping network. But we'll also be talking to you about things to do with East African music and culture.
So we'll be telling you about the music and the politics behind it. All different kinds from Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya.
Mm-hmm. So we do have a lot in store for you. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back. And welcome back. Still listening to CKUT. My name is Onyango Olo. I don't know, you may have heard this, but I'm looking at a news release from the Associated Press. A federal judge in Philadelphia, of course, in the U.S., threw out the death sentence which was imposed on Mumia Abu-Jamal. That was yesterday. Mumia Abu-Jamal is entitled to a new sentencing hearing for allegedly killing a Philadelphia police officer in 1981. U.S. District Judge William Yon ordered the state of Pennsylvania to conduct the hearing within 180 days. But you see, before we start jumping up and down to celebrate, this is what he says. The judge says this also. Should the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania not have conducted a new sentencing hearing, the Commonwealth shall sentence petitioner to life imprisonment, the judge said in his 272-page ruling. Of course, we know that Mumia Abu-Jamal is America's most famous death row inmate. And of course, he has inspired a worldwide free Mumia movement as a crusader for social justice. Of course, the cops don't like him. And I was watching CNN yesterday, and the widow of police officer Daniel Faulkner was saying Mumia Abu-Jamal should be executed and all that stuff. And supporters of Mumia Abu-Jamal are actually worried. They're actually saying that this ruling may actually effectively mean that all avenues of appeal are closed to Mumia Abu-Jamal, who has been asking for a new trial. Yesterday's ruling does say that, does leave it open to be appealed to the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals. So we'll be bringing you updates in future shows about that. The other thing I just wanted to comment on briefly is, I don't know if you have seen the infamous home video allegedly featuring Osama bin Laden. And I don't know if you've bought into the hype that video has inspired. I mean, according to the Americans, they've got this video in which Osama bin Laden is allegedly admitting in details how he knew in advance about the attacks which happened on September 11th, how he even mentions people by their real names, Mohammed Atta, and all that stuff. And for me, I must say that I am deeply skeptical, to say the least. In fact, this is just a personal opinion. There's a very strong likelihood the whole thing could either be fabricated or at least distorted. I mean, just think about it. Here's Osama bin Laden. There's a war going on in Afghanistan. they're looking for him, and he says, you know what, guys, since we have some time on our hands in this cave, why don't we do this? Why don't we make a video? And in the video, let's tell them everything that they didn't know. Let's admit to everything. Let's even call people. Don't even use code names. Call people by their real name. Make sure we link Muhammad Atta to us, and so that when the Americans come after we have left, they'll have this video that they can show on CNN, so that they have evidence to back up what they've been alleging so far without showing a shred of evidence. And by the way, this time we're not going to leave any secret coded messages so that they can show it on CNN. Now, do you believe that crap? I don't. We should remember what people like Noam Chomsky have said about manufacturing consent, how the mass media, and it's increasingly CNN has become like this. You find that the pundits are the generals, and they're talking about a war which is being conducted by, of course, Pentagon, and posing as independent, objective observers. It's just very, very hard to swallow. And of course, as we're talking about all these things, we know there's all this stuff about Christmas. Everybody, I don't know how many of you, are you getting worried that you haven't bought that elusive gift for your loved one or whatever? People are talking about Christmas. People are talking about, oh, we are waiting to celebrate the day Jesus Christ was born. But I think we do have a different take on this, Tanya.
Well, yeah, it is always good to ask ourselves what we're celebrating on Christmas Day. What are the origins of Christmas? For instance, do we know for sure that Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day, as we have been told? Well, maybe we shouldn't be so sure about that. Even biblical studies and other Christian sources admit, when asked when Jesus was born, that nothing's absolutely certain, because we're dealing with implications and assumptions. But their best guess, based on scriptures and history, was actually September 29th of the year 5 BC.
So, yes, Jesus Christ was actually before Christ, huh? That's interesting.
Born before Christ.
Yes.
According to several reliable sources, the origin of Christmas also have roots on the Saturnalia celebrations of ancient Rome. Here's an article by Jimmy Drews on this event. It says, the winter solstice marked a time of great celebration in ancient Roman society, just as it does in our society today. In Roman times, this festival was called Saturnalia and represented the most renowned celebrations. As suggested in its name, the Saturnalia was a tribute to the god of seed sowing and wine, Saturn. Originally, the Saturnalia was merely a one-day feast on the 17th of December, when the autumn sowing would have been completed. However, it eventually evolved into a week-long festival. Seneca, a renowned Roman philosopher, once claimed that during Saturnalia, all of Rome went mad. The ceremonies actually began in sober fashion as Romans, dressed in togas, attended the public sacrifice in Saturn's temple by the Forum. This sacrifice was followed by a public feast, at which time the togas were discarded in favor of tunics or dinner gowns for the wealthier Romans who owned them. This dinner gown was called a synthesis and was worn over the tunic. It was usually bright in color and was only worn during the Saturnalia. On the following days, the feast of the suckling pig was essential for a successful Saturnalia. During the holiday, all business in Rome ceased. And in addition, the Saturnalia marked the one time of the year that gambling was allowed in public, although its restriction during the rest of the year was difficult to enforce. One of the most distinctive traditions of the Saturnalia was the manner in which society was turned upside down, as slaves were released from their duties and even served by their masters. In each household, a mock king was chosen from the servants to preside over the festival. However, this mock king was killed at the conclusion of the festival.
And in fact, just to add a little bit more on that, why December the 25th? Why is Christmas celebrated on the December the 25th? as you've told you, Jesus Christ was probably born on the 29th of September, 5 BC. So what's the origin of this? According to some sources that we dug up on the internet, December 25th was chosen by Pope Julius I in the 4th century AD, since this coincided with the winter solstice. His intention was to replace the previous pagan holiday rituals, which had been celebrated for thousands of years prior to the birth of Christ, with a Christian one. Then in 1752, 11 days were dropped from the year when people, of course, in the Western world switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. That is why some Christian sects called old calendarists still celebrate Christmas on January the 6th, 11 days after the 25th of December. But even that January 6th date, people celebrated an Epiphany in Christendom and linked with the visit of the Magi, and was originally an Egyptian date for the winter solstice. So these dates in the West for celebrating Christmas may or may not be relevant. And what about the word Yule, as in Yuletide? Well, again, it goes way back to the celebration of light and rebirth, back again to the Roman Saturnalia that Tani just told us about, or the winter solstice celebration. In old Europe, it was known as Yule, from the Norse Jule, meaning wheel. In fact, most of all the customs, laws, symbols, and rituals associated with the current Christmas celebrations are actually linked to the winter solstice celebration of ancient pagan cultures. And while Christian mythology is interwoven with contemporary observance of this holiday time, is pagan nature still strong and apparent? And how about the colors, you know, red, green, and white? Well, it has some connection to Coca-Cola, believe it or not. They are, first of all, old druidic, colors, holiday colors are associated with the druids, which in ancient times incorporated holy, ivy, evergreen boughs, pine cones, and mistletoe from the life-giving forest for which solstice was originally celebrated. And how about that jolly old fat man called Santa Claus? Today is a folk figure with true multi-cutty roots, embodying the characteristics of the Roman agricultural god Saturn, the Greek god Kronos, also known as Father Time, the Holy King, the Celtic god of the dying year, the Norse sky god Thor, who rides the sky in a chariot drawn by goats, and Tomte, a Norse land spirit known for giving gifts to children at the solstice time of year. All dressed in red? No. Originally, he was dressed in green, just like Coca-Cola. What? Coca-Cola is true. If you don't believe me, or if you don't believe us, look around for yourself, surf around the net and do your own research. But both Santa Claus and Coca-Cola were originally packaged in mostly all green. When Coca-Cola changed its look and switched to red in a huge worldwide marketing campaign, it used images of Santa Claus in a very big way and dressed him all in red. Nowadays, Santa Claus is red and black, just like Coca-Cola.
And what about the meaning of Christmas? It seems to be getting lost in this commercialized and commodified world, where rituals are now going to the shopping mall, spending hours choosing the latest releases as presents. Well, it's interesting to see that there are actually some Christmas resistance groups. Here I came across this really fascinating website. It's called Xmas Resistance, and it's the homepage for all the Christmas resistance groups, and actually they say they're opposing shopping. So they say, you know, holiday shopping is offensive and wasteful. You know, Christmas wish lists and gift exchanges degrade the concept of giving. You know, Christmas marketing is a scam, benefiting manufacturers, stores, and huge corporations while driving individuals into debt. You know, this annual consumer frenzy wreaks a havoc on the environment, filling landfills with useless packaging and discarded gifts. So the relentless onslaught of advertising exerts constant pressure. So do the unified bleatings of herds of shoppers who call you Scrooge if you fail to enthusiastically join the ritual orgy of consumption. Friends and family needle you with gift requests. Store windows beckon with shiny, colorful packages. The same classic holiday jingles are piped constantly through every speaker in town. They say, together we boycott Christmas shopping, Christmas decorations, Christmas cards, and every variety of Christmas crap. We refuse to support the holiday industry. We show our love for friends and family by giving our time and care, not by purchasing consumer goods. We maintain the integrity of giving by giving spontaneously from our heart, rather than during a specific season. And they give us some Christmas resistance tips. So, for instance, they say, politely but firmly tell your friends and family you're not buying Christmas presents this year. When they needle you later, remind them of your position and do not back down. If you're offered a gift, inform the giver that you're not buying something in exchange. If they insist, you accept. Thank them for their generosity. Chances are very slim they will buy you something next year. When temptation strikes, remember the earth. Imagine your prospective purchase languishing in a landfill. Give gifts as the Spirit moves you the rest of the year. Your thoughtfulness and generosity can set an example and erode the Scrooge stereotype. Trust on conscientious resistors.
Mm-hmm. And on that Christmas spirit, we go to a music break. You are still listening to the Wednesday edition of the Morning After Show here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Micaela with the Funky Boogaloo, and this is the Sonora Carrusel from Colombia and their album Heavy Salsa.